Good morning.
Wow.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, there we go. Hey, a couple announcements before we get started. First, if by chance you still are looking for something to do over spring break or your plans have fallen through, shoot an email to Kate Koyman, because there have been some spots that have opened up on some of our awesome immersion trips, and we would love to have you take part in that. Second announcement is today there's a couple events we want to highlight. Gary Burge, who spoke with us and was with us at the gathering last night, will be giving a lecture at 4 o'clock this afternoon in Martha Miller. And then tonight there will be a viewing of the film that we saw a clip from in the beginning of the gathering, and that will be in the Scopes Science Center at 7:30. And the film is called With God on Our Side. So encourage you to participate in that if you have a chance. Hey, this semester we have been working through the book of? Yeah, we're pumped, we're still there. Hey, let's get back there. Let's remember. I know you probably have your favorite picture on this little thing, but try to take in the whole, right? So Colossians was a letter written by the Apostle Paul, who was in jail, and it was written to Christians in Colossae, yep, gets a little, who were living under the influence of the Roman Empire that declared that Caesar is Lord, go team. So, Colossians, we're going back there today. Hear the word of the Lord from the book of Colossians, chapter 2. Now, if with Christ you died to the elemental spirits of the universe, why do you live as if you still belonged to the world? Why do you submit to all the regulations? Do not handle, do not taste, do not touch. All these regulations refer to things that perish with use. They are simply human commands and teachings. These indeed have an appearance of wisdom in promoting self-imposed piety, humility, and serve treatment of the body. But they are of no value in checking of self-indulgence. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So as we see here, and as we remember, the Colossians are living under the influence of the Roman Empire, and they're living in a world that is pluralistic and pagan, and there's lots of voices that are calling them to believe something else that is not true of them. And when there's a lot of voices that are speaking into our lives, it's easy to want to cling to something that seems sure, that seems like it's clean lines, clean rules, things that make sense. I mean, don't you ever have that where you think to yourself, I want to follow Christ. Somebody just tell me exactly how to do it and I'll do it. We want to do what is right. And what's happening here is Paul is warning the Colossians about being drawn back into the law of Judaism, where the lines are clear of don't touch this, don't eat this, don't do this. And he warns them against that because it pulls them away from what is true of them already, that their identity is in Christ and that there is a new law and that they have freedom to live in a new life, in a new way, even now. Now, these verses from Colossians remind me of a song. And I think many of you don't know this song. Unless there's some really hidden late 80s rocker fans out there. Anybody remember the song Signs? This is way before your time, but it's like, signs, signs everywhere, signs, blacken the scenery, shaping my mind. Do this, don't do that, can't you read the signs? Tesla, baby, late 80s. It was a remake, though, from a Canadian band in the 70s. Check it out, great song, Science. So great, see, it plays with your mind, guys. It gets in there, it changes the way you think. Don't do this, do this. We want to know what's right. We want to know how to be shaped. And it makes us feel like we're making advances in our walk with Christ. It makes us feel like we're becoming holier and more spiritual. And it may feel like this, but in some respects, this is illusion because it takes away from what is true of us. That's what's already true of us in Christ, that we have been made right with God. We have been reconciled to God. And it's time to start living into this new life. And it begins with the renewing of our minds. We need to begin to think this way. Because a big part of the Christian life is beginning to think and be able to believe what is true, even if it doesn't feel like it's true in the moment. And the good news is for us that there are things that are built into our faith that help cultivate this way of thinking, help cultivate our imagination, help cultivate our ideas of what it means to live as followers of Christ, what it means to live into our identity as Christians. Now, maybe some of you remember last November when we talked about the liturgical year, the church's calendar. We talked about it because it begins with Advent, which usually happens in November, which is the season of waiting and expectation for Christmas and the coming of Christ. We have been in the season of Epiphany, which is the season of light. And this week, we move into the season of Lent, which is a time of preparation leading up to Easter. And it begins this Wednesday with Ash Wednesday for the Western Christian Church. For the Eastern Orthodox Christians and Eastern Catholics, Lent actually begins today on what is called Clean Monday. And the difference, one of the differences is Lent is the 40 days leading up to Easter. Now, some of you who are doing quick math in your heads, maybe you're thinking, I am not doing math this early in the morning. Some of you have already done it. But this Wednesday is more than 40 days before Easter. That's because in Lent, Sundays don't count. Because Sundays are seen as mini Easters, mini celebrations, mini reminders that Christ indeed conquers death. So it's 40 plus days leading up to Easter. And Lent is a time where often we as Protestants think, ah, yes, the time to give up something like chocolate or caffeine. Facebook, maybe a good idea. I don't know. Lent, Facebook. A time to restrain ourselves, a time to sacrifice and enter into what it means to suffer and die with Christ. And that's part of it. But what we're quick to do is just turn that into kind of another feat, another kind of competition with ourselves to see if we really can do it. You know what I mean? Can I really live without chocolate for 40 days? Do I eat chocolate on Sunday because Sunday doesn't really count? Am I, you know, we try to bend and twist the rules because we want these rules to tell us what it's exactly like. The point of Lent isn't, however, to give something up, but it's really to give ourselves up to something. It's a time when our focus should be on what moves us closer to God, what helps us to live into our identity as a follower of Christ. Now, one way that Christians throughout the ages have been doing this by growing closer to God is by practicing something called spiritual disciplines. Now, for many of us, the word discipline kind of has maybe some negative connotations. Because discipline is something that you do to, you know, little kids when they're bad. Or discipline is something that happens to us when we've done something wrong. Or discipline is the hard work that goes into being a good athlete or a good actor or a good student. It's kind of all like the not fun part that you don't like to do. For me, with all the reasons I quit playing sports, it's because I didn't really like the discipline of practicing sports. Not a good combination. So disciplines, however, we want to redeem that idea for us. Because often when we hear the phrase spiritual disciplines, we're quick to do one of two things, I think. We're quick to think, well, is this some kind of punishment? Or this seems kind of boring or not fun. Or we're quick to think, spiritual disciplines, that's something like the uber holy do. Like people who really want to seek after and follow God. I'm not quite there. We are so quick in our culture to take things to extremes, right? So we, in regards to spiritual disciplines, we can twist these into rules that become somehow a means to our salvation, becomes legalistic. Or we can flip the other extreme and say, well, it doesn't matter. I don't need them at all because I am free to do whatever. Spiritual disciplines, at their best, when we avoid the extremes, however, do two things. They remind us of who God is, thus reminding ourselves of who we are as well. We are not God. God is God. And they help us to pay attention. They draw in our focus. As we move into Lent this semester, we as a community want to engage in spiritual disciplines. We want to discipline our minds and our bodies and our spirits. We, as chaplain staff, has each picked a discipline that we are going to practice throughout the season of Lent. And when we speak in chapel, we are going to share with you how that's been going for us and what that is like. Little spoiler alert here, so you know. Paul is going to focus on the discipline of scripture, meditation, and memorization. Kate is going to focus on the discipline of celebration. Trig is going to be focusing on the discipline of simplicity. And I'm going to be focusing on the discipline of Sabbath. In our world, it is often our behaviors that shape our identity. What do I mean by this? Well, you have been labeled. You have been labeled, whether you know it as not, or not, as one of the most undisciplined generations yet. And part of this is because of our behaviors. And it is true, there are many forces in our culture that make it hard to pay attention, that grab at our attention. But just as Paul pleads with the Colossians, why do you live as if you belonged to this world? See, our behaviors don't shape our identity. It is our identity that ought to shape our behaviors. Our identity as Christ followers is to live into behaviors that help us live into that. So our challenge for our community this season of Lent is for you to pick up a spiritual discipline. I mean, if you still want to give up chocolate, that's fine. But if we want you to pick up a discipline. Up here we've got example of some disciplines, some of the traditional disciplines in the Christian walk. I also, down on the bottom, have some resources, and this will be up on our website and rotating so you can see it. But we want you to pick a discipline and practice it through Lent. And two things, two warnings I kind of want to give you. One, remember one of the wisest bits from a movie ever, baby steps. Now, if it's true that you're the most undisciplined generation yet, don't think that all of a sudden you can go from, you know, 0 to 100 in a matter of a day. So I would encourage you to take baby steps. For example, like if that you were going to take the discipline of sitting of silence, start with 5 minutes a day. You don't think, I'm going to sit in silence for an hour. Not going to happen, guys. So start with baby steps and work your way up. And here's the other challenge. Tell somebody. Look around right now. You're all here. You're all hearing the same message. I encourage you later today to ask your friends, hey, what discipline are you going to pick up for Lent? To ask one another, because we want to be able to engage this as a community, because it's hard. It's hard work, and we need to rely on one another to do this work. The way of Christ is a way of denial. It is a way of suffering. It's a way of obedience. And it's a way that shows us that death leads to new life. And there are things in our lives that need to die. So this season, as we move through Lent, as we move into spring, where we are reminded of the springtime green of new life, think for yourself, what new life do you want to take root in your lives? And how can we engage in this as a community? Let's pray. God, we are grateful that you dwell with us in every moment of our day. And God, we do desire to see you, to hear you, to sense you. And so we ask that you will help us to learn to pay attention. So give us eyes to see and hearts and minds to feel. And God, may you speak a word of life into us today. Thank you for the gift of your Son and the gift of the cross. We pray this through Christ. Amen. Go in peace.